Now, at the sight of live trout or crayfish boat being unloaded at the wharf in Cooktown is hardly remarkable, or at least not in a normal year. But this year, as we well know, has been anything but normal. The live export trade is slowly showing signs of recovery after lucrative markets for live reef fish and tropical rock lobster went into free fall in January as the first shockwaves of COVID-19 were felt. With the fleet back on the water after a 7-week shutdown, the outcome is better than MG Kayla's fishing operations manager Leon Evans could have ever hoped only a few months ago.
Well, it's been a real juggling act, really. We've had to stagger boats to unload. I mean, obviously we have our East Coast fishery, but also stuff from the Torres Strait as well. We've had to stagger our unloads around how much we could actually fit on planes. And, you know, we were down to one plane there for a long time. And that was sort of a bit of a heart in the mouth type moment, because we didn't know if that plane would break down, where we did have that kind of stuff, where we've had to get the crayfish off the plane, bring them back to the factory, unload them. It wasn't good. It made a lot of extra work and for no financial reward, so it's been hard on us, mate.
How is the air capacity ex Cairns right now?
It's quite good. Yeah, we've got 3 flights on a weekly basis, so that's obviously part of a government assistance package, which has helped us out tremendously, and we can move our product a lot more freely, and definitely making our life, you know, viable. You know, we can keep going with 3 planes a week.
Would there be an international trade without those federally subsidised flights out of Cairns?
There would be, but it'd be on a very reduced capacity, you know, and then you've really got to look at it, you know, are you shifting the volume to be able to keep going? So, you know, it's definitely helped us out to no end.
Leon Evans, you've talked about your market going into free fall essentially overnight. How would you describe the appetite for Australian live crayfish now in your main destination of China?
The demand's still there, however, they're a little bit more cautious in this day and age. Our lobster is primarily a sashimi-style lobster, so therefore being a luxury item, people are a little less likely to go out and spend high-end money on products like that. So the demand's still there, but it's not as good as what it was. You know, our market will come back strong. I think it's just a matter of time before things start to level out, I guess, worldwide, really. I mean, obviously, we're selling our live to China and our frozen product to the US. So, you know, we're doing a lot of juggling and we're keeping the wheels rolling. So, you know, we're hopeful for the future, that's for sure.
Leon Evans, on a crisp morning like this, as the sun comes up over the mouth of the Endeavour River, you've got your crew here with a spring in their step, unloading beautiful quality product. It must be hard to kind of remember the depths of those dark days only a few months ago, but how were you during that time? I mean, was there a moment when you thought you might not see this kind of activity on the wharf here in Cooktown again?
I guess it's a pair of positive thinking. That's how we are as fishermen. We're a tough breed and, you know, it's just another hurdle, and yeah, we just put one foot in front of the other and get on with the job. And that's just, as fishermen, that's what we do, you know.
Leon Evans is happy to be back in the thick of it here at the wharf in Cooktown. He's the fishing operations manager for Australia's largest crayfish exporter, MG Kayla's. One of his major challenges now is finding crew. A shortage of willing workers has meant divers like Sam Doole have had to do back-to-back trips without a break for the past 4 months. But as he unloads his lucrative bounty, he doesn't seem to mind one bit.
There we go. One for White. Oh, the weather this trip was amazing. It was almost a glass out every day. It was beautiful. Glad to see winter's finally done. It was nice to be able to get some good days in, get a bit of sounding done, be able to go to those places you don't want to go because it's too rough to get out there.
The days that make it all worthwhile.
Oh, definitely, especially when you're bringing a few 2, 3, 4 kilo guys.
Yeah, you like seeing white tags go up the conveyor belt.
Yeah, white tags going up and waiting to see if there's no rejects and that.
Tell me what it feels like when you're heading out in your little dory, you're not sure what you're going to get, and then you're under the water. Just explain that experience.
The first day at each reef is always a little bit, well, what's the word, sort of nervous. You don't know where it's going to be. You sort of got to do a little bit, you know, a couple of mile punches, check here, check there. But as soon as you see that first rock that's got 2 or 3 feelers sticking out, you know there's something going to be around and it's worth sticking around. Some days it might take 5, 6 hours to find that little patch. Some days you find it straight off the bat. But the day you find it straight off the bat, it's a good day.
You remember those days?
Oh, yeah. But they usually don't last. They're normally only 4 or 5 hours. In the afternoon, you've got to go find them again.
What would have been your best day out there this trip?
This trip would have been at Mason. Yeah, it was 95 kilos. Probably did 55 miles of driving for the day. But was well worth it. If I didn't see a tiger, it would have been a great day.
That can really change your fortunes quickly, huh?
Yeah, and I was out of the water pretty quick with that one. Jumped straight on top of him, so just jump in, jump out. Might go check the rock next time, see if there's a cray on there. I'm going to check it this trip.
It's not for the faint-hearted what you do. That's always in the back of your mind? There might be something you don't want to see down there?
There's always a chance, but I think it's just a numbers game. One jump, you're always going to see one. But, you know, for every jump that you see one, you probably do, you know, 500 or 600 jumps where you don't see anything. Some of the boys have gone, you know, 3-4 years without seeing a shark. So, but as long as you keep your head down and find them crays, it's all good.
That keeps your mind off it?
Yeah. It's when you swim around empty rocks that you start thinking about sharks. But as soon as you've got a handful of crays,
it eases your mind.
Yeah, you're too busy looking at them and looking at the next rock. Yeah, bounce diving is probably the hardest of the diving. Bends-wise, it's probably not the worst, but it's not the best either. You're not doing a large total bottom time, but you are doing a varied bottom depth. So if you're not aware of things can go wrong quite easily. But I think most divers these days are aware of bottom times and what they're capable of.
And you love it?
Oh, I love it, yeah. I've been diving 15 years now, so can't think of another job I want to do yet. I'll find one day.
Was there a time during this year, Sam, where you wondered whether you would be able to go out on a cray boat when the market was disrupted so badly by COVID?
Oh, no, when that happened, I was doing aquarium fish. I just jumped across when we slowed down because these guys were still operating, so it sort of worked out well. I jumped industries and kept making a little bit of money. Yeah, I always love blowing bubbles and catching animals. It's good fun.
It won't be long before Sam Doole is back out at sea, hoping to make the most of the final month of the rock lobster season. As a versatile young diver, he's escaped the worst of the COVID-19 pain. The same cannot be said for Anne Williams. She and her husband, Jim, have built up a marine services business in Cooktown over the past 34 years. They've never faced a year like this one, and it's not over yet.
It's got to the stage now where some of the companies have actually closed their doors and they're not taking the fish, or they're only sending or exporting certain varieties of fish. And it means that we don't know what our cash flow is going to be like. It's just going to disappear completely, or if it'll just be enough to keep us going. You approach your bank, which is good, you know, and they give you certain assistance, but you know that that's going to run out. So then you look at borrowing some more money, but how are you going to meet those repayments? They ask you to do a budget. How can you put a budget together when you don't know if you're going to have any customers? We had to, because we've got big freezers and a lot of infrastructure that we've got to keep going. You can't just turn things off and, you know, save that money. Electricity has become such an unbearable cost, you know, I think for everyone over recent years. It just seems to be ever climbing. There's rates to pay. There's rental figures to pay to our local authority. There's just so many things, you know, and we've got a business loan already in operation, so we're able to get a deferral on that, but that still means that the interest is accruing. So you're adding on to your balance instead of taking it away. And I was hoping to be free and clear of that by, you know, within the next couple of years, but it doesn't look that way.
What's your hopes for the fishing fleet and what that might translate to in terms of your business?
That's a tough one too. Some are managing, starting to make money again as such, individually and for their own business. But I know of other individual businesses in the marine side that have just closed their doors. There's a boat that's out on the anchor just up the river here. They've made the decision, sadly, to close their business down. So that means that the skipper and all their crew, you know, will be looking for a job. We're still hoping that we can move forward and that we'll still be here in business, but we just don't know. We just don't know.
Anne Williams is with me. We're sitting on the waterfront at Cooktown at her iconic Fisherman's Wharf. And this is the type of day when this place, Cooktown, really comes into its own. The sun starts to soften, this gentle breeze. The fishermen are out there, fishermen and women, trying their luck off of your wharf. What would it mean to Cooktown if you weren't a vibrant fishing town and you didn't have this kind of infrastructure here?
I think it'd be a big loss, a huge loss. You know, It's not just the marine side commercial fishermen catching the seafood and that. We have other industries, the marlin season, which won't happen this year, when we normally get visitors in from all over Australia and even international visitors as well. They just love coming to Cooktown because the fishing grounds are just out at number 10 Ribbon Reef. They fly their customers in and out. And once people have seen Cooktown, it's... stays in their memories forever. A lot of people want to come back one way or another as soon as they can. Sometimes it might be a little bit longer, but it's just a special place.